Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I am your host, Vince. How are you? Welcome to the show. You look fantastic as usual. Have an episode planned for you today. A lot of things to talk about and whatnot. My watch is going off for some reason. How are you? The little Pip-Boy on my wrist? That thingle-thangle, that jingle-jangle, ringle-wrangle. Everyone is left. After that little remark, everyone's gone. Welcome to the show. Before we even get started, I have to give a big shout out to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. If you like the show, check it out. I also have to thank Marcus, who's in the chat tonight. Welcome to the show, my good man. Welcome. I have a question for you guys. Before I even ask that, if you like the show, subscribe, like, do all the things, check out the stuff, follow me on everything that is below, whatever. Apparently, this grows your engagement, so check out the descriptions. And let me know what you have to say. I love you. Okay, so we're at a weird point in time right now where I'm enjoying video games again. It's weird and it's scary and it's strange. I've been playing Hitman, World of Assassination, all three of them together, and I've been really enjoying it, but I crave The Wasteland once more. So I've been playing that, and then I've also been playing the Arkham series. There was a huge sale on the Arkham series on Xbox, so I got them all, because I can't just pop in my copy of Arkham City for some reason. But whatever, I got all these games, right? And I've been playing that, what'd I say, Hitman, Arkham. I actually just downloaded Marvel Rivals, which I'm really excited to go play, because I've actually been reading Amazing Spider-Man in its continuity right now, and right now it's really cool. Doctor Doom has Doctor Strange's powers for some reason, and he just, like, Doom is like, here is Strange's powers for you, Spider-Man. And it's pretty dope, but, like, I'm excited to go play these things. I love Super Mario Wonder, and Pikmin 4 is a blast of a game, right? So I'm enjoying these things. And I go to work the other day, and this guy that I work with is asking me about how I feel about sci-fi and, you know, how I'm kind of like, I like it, but I'm not one for hard sci-fi, but technically Batman is like sci-fi, and so is Spider-Man in a way. So, like, I like it, but I don't, but pretty much everything is science fiction. So, like, I'm not a spacey sci-fi guy, but whatever. And we started talking about Stalker, and it's a game that I've never played. I streamed it, but it's so incredibly hard to run on my PC, and it's 20 years old and janky as hell. So I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I didn't really have an understanding of, like, what I was playing, but it's on Xbox and it runs phenomenally. And it's all three of the original, like, the DLC packs. I don't know if they were full games or DLC packs of Stalker. Then we started talking about the book, Roadside Picnic, that it's based on, and the movie called Stalker that it's based on, and we're talking about all of this, and I want to really try Atomic Heart, or Atomic Hearts, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but I want to try these things. And it made me wonder, what other Fallout-esque games are there? I don't necessarily need to play a Fallout game because it's a post-nuclear whatever, whatever. I want a post-apocalyptic survival game. That's kind of what I love. And, you know, there's one coming out that I can't remember the name of, that it's like in rural England or rural Scotland or rural Ireland, like that area of the world. And, like, you've been waiting for the military to come help for years. That looks really interesting. But, like, what else is there? Survival, I guess, military-esque sim, but not really military sim, but like a survival horror that I can, like, walk around and scavenge. Like, that's what I want to play. Like, honestly, that's just what I want to play. I want to play a survival game that I'm in an apocalyptic setting. Maybe I fight a man, a woman even, something. Like, just something where I can walk around and fulfill that fantasy of being a lone wanderer. Like, maybe there's a dog. I've played Mad Max. It's fine. It's kind of a collectathon. It's actually kind of a pain in the ass because the achievements are done in like threes and twos. So I just have an odd number of achievement score right now, and it really is upsetting to me. But if you know any games that you like that are apocalypse based, that are end of the world, open world survival games, let me know, because I'm very much willing to try something right now, especially with this. So I was gonna buy Stalker, and I never did, because the Xbox sale that was going on for like Cyber Monday was continued, and it was like, here is the three Arkham games in the trilogy. It's $5. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then it was like, here is the two big DLC packs for Hitman, and then like another one that was like the Sergio Six, I think it's called. It's something like the Seven Deadly Sins or the Six People or something, and that's $5 as well. So I got all the Batman games, all the DLC for Hitman. And I feel like I bought something else that I'm just not remembering for like $35-ish. And that is going to be hours upon hours of entertainment, plus the Switch games that I still have to play. But obviously I'm a glutton for punishment because I've been thinking about retrying Skyrim. So let me know what kind of open world apocalyptic survival games you like, because I really want to try them right now, and I want to know what kind of games are like Fallout that might have been inspired by Fallout or are inspiring what could be the next Fallout game. I want to go back and play Wasteland. Apparently the newer Wasteland games are really good, especially now that they're on consoles and what have you, and I'd love to try them. I just need the recommendation. So this week's lore that I have for you is a big one. It's a really, really good one. Honestly, it's one that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I had a conversation about what if the Mythbusters... I've been watching the Mythbusters on YouTube, and I was like, oh, you know, I hope when civilization is dead, this is one of the few things that survives, is bootleg copies of Mythbusters, and there is an entire society that it grows out their mustaches just like Jamie Hyneman. Because of it. And they're like, he's the smart one. He brings the balance. Or something. And I had the idea for the lore. But before I could even get into what the lore is, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the names that are currently on screen right now at this very moment, the show continues to get bigger and better. I actually have something I'm thinking of for the intro to the show that I want to do that it would make me really happy. And I have a feeling it would make some other people really happy, especially Kyle, for like what I have planned. But because of these fine folks, the show continues to get bigger and better. I always forget what side I'm supposed to be on. Anyway, starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus, who is here tonight in the audience. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. After Mellow Milhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And after Danish Hound Dog, last but not least, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you to Brotherhood Outcast. Like I said, because of these names, the show can continue to get bigger and better and harder and faster and stronger. And I thank these people from the depths, the cockles of my heart, because the show grows because of you guys. I love you. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the program. Hey, so this week's lore is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's kind of a two-parter of things. We'll hit the other point, the other people at another point, but it's something that I've been really, 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 really wanting to talk about. It's from New Vegas. I've been doing a lot of New Vegas, a lot of 4. I got to get back to Fallout 3 at some point in time, but these are a lot of things that I've been covering over the past bit of time. And I went the old-fashioned way. I did a poll. I didn't ask what everyone wanted to hear because, like I said, I was watching the Mythbusters bootlegs, and I wanted to talk about something that inspired me in a way, because I was watching it with a friend and I was like, oh, you know, the mustache thing, there's kind of a thing like that in Fallout. So if you'd like to hear any lore from the Fallout series, and I mean any lore whatsoever, the games, the show, the comic book, any of it, join the Patreon. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a question, and you might be the one who chooses this week's lore. So by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you the lore on the Twisted Hairs, the tribe from Fallout New Vegas, predominantly spoken about in Lonesome Road, the DLC, but we'll get into it. But this is the Twisted Hairs. Now, before we could talk about the Twisted Hairs, we have to talk about one of my favorite factions from the Fallout series. And before I say this, I'm not a fan of what they're doing politically. I don't believe what they're doing is correct. I think they're very interesting. Their lore is very, very well written. And I genuinely just think that this is the way humanity would go for a while. And I feel like it's an honest representation. Maybe this is a little over the top, but I feel like it's an honest representation. And that is Caesar's Legion. I would probably interchangeably call him Caesar and Kaiser throughout this, but we have to talk about Caesar's Legion before we can get to the Twisted Hairs. All of my lore, I've played these games, I love these games, but all of my lore for reference I get off of the Fallout Wiki, the Nukipedia, if you will, fallout.fandom.com. And Caesar's Legion starts, it's founded in 2247 by Edward Sallow, who would later be known as Kaiser, and Joshua Graham, who would later be known as the Burned Man. They wanted to enslave tribes all across the American Southwest, and as of 2281, they controlled much of the land east of the Colorado River, Arizona, New Mexico, and they had some settlements and beginning to be strongholds in Utah and Colorado as well. Now, Caesar, the great conqueror that he is a man who's built up on legend and myth and history. He's a smart fella. See, Kaiser is a very, very smart person. He's actually in-game, has less intelligence than Snuffles the Mole Rat, but he himself is not dumb when it comes to the things that he is doing. He is the conqueror of 86 tribes. One of the 86 tribes just so happens to be the Twisted Hairs. Now, the Twisted Hairs. The reason why they're called this, plainly, is because they have braids or dreads. The way Ulysses, who we're going to talk about Ulysses in a little bit, but the way Ulysses, to me, always came off as dreads. I do not have coarse, kinky hair. I don't have 4C hair. I actually don't have any hair. My face is the only hair, well, you know, I have hair pretty, you could see if you're looking at me, you could see how my shoulders look on camera. I have hair, just not on my head, right? So I don't know the different types of hair for people with more coarse hair. I would say they're dreads. Some would say they're twists. Some would say they're braids. Either way, the hairs are twisted. And I didn't know if that was just quite literally they are twisting their hairs to create the dreadlocks, because I always saw that you kind of, like, you're rubbing sticks together, like you're rubbing a stick to make a fire. That's how I've always seen dreads be made, but I don't know. I don't have that hair, like I said. They're not originally from what is formerly known as Arizona, but they're not from what is originally known as Arizona. The game never, or the lore, I should say, never really says it. No one person says that this group of people, the Twisted Hairs, is from Arizona. It's alluded to that they were big in Arizona, and because of Fallout's timeline and where everything is, I can only assume that these people weren't incredibly nomadic, and if they were, it was mostly around Arizona. I just know that they weren't born in dry wells, and I'll get to that in a little bit, in just a little bit of time. Sometime after 2247, in the earliest days of the Legion, Kaiser and his Legion brokered a deal with the Twisted Hairs for them to act as scouts to conquer other tribes. Essentially, the Twisted Hairs were told they would be safe if they helped Caesar go out and conquer other tribes in the area, right? So these other tribes had to go out and pretty much make sure that they understood the routes and the patterns that they would partake in. And then Caesar would come in, take over. And his big thing was he would destroy most of the people, throw most of them into slavery. And if you wanted to assimilate, you could become part of Kaiser's army, his legion, but you had to forget everything about your culture, and you are now Legion. You were not a separate tribe, you were Legion. One day, Kaiser and Vulpus and Culta meet the Twisted Hairs at Dry Wells and betray them. They were enslaved, their identities erased, and if they objected, they were crucified along Interstate 40. This is where I know that they're not from Dry Wells, because in-game, the courier can ask Ulysses if Dry Wells is where he was born. That's where he's from. And Ulysses says quite the opposite. That's where my tribe died. So if that is Arizona, we know that they are from Arizona, but we don't exactly know where in Arizona, but does it really matter at this point in time? Now, we have to talk about Ulysses a bit. And Ulysses is a character who... It's him and Joshua Graham. Those are probably the two best characters from New Vegas. Joshua Graham and Ulysses. And Ulysses, being a Twisted Hair tribesman, he's one of the only ones that is remaining that still has his hair in that way. Based on his hair alone, which I don't believe you can give to your character in-game, he's one of the last Twisted Harris to be alive. He still kind of carries the flag for the Twisted Hairs. He would become one of Kaisar's Fumentari, and he got to either keep his hair or grow it back. And I could see him being allowed to keep it, because there is even Aurelius of Phoenix, and I don't know everything about Aurelius, but he is from Phoenix, Arizona, that area, and was allowed to keep a part of his past in his name. Aurelius of Phoenix. So some of that is there. I could see Kaisar maybe giving Ulysses just that small thing. You know, you give him an inch, and then he thinks that he owns the world, and maybe that's what Ulysses was given. Ulysses would then be sent by Kaisar to organize, so they unionized the White Legs. Ulysses was sent to organize the White Legs and destroy what is now New Canaan around the Great Salt Lake of Utah. He taught the White Legs to use the storm drums, which were SMGs. They're automatic guns that he taught them how to use. These are tribals. These are people that are throwing sticks and using machetes and what have you. The White Legs twisted their hairs the same way Ulysses did, as a sign of respect after the falling of New Canaan. And they copied something that meant so much to Ulysses, but they had no real idea of what they were doing. I'm going to try something a little new. I'm actually going to play Ulysses's audio logs for you right now, so enjoy them, and then I'll come back in just a moment to talk about it.
Emptiness here, like the sands of the Great Salt Lake, echoed the beating in the divide sky, like storm drums of the White Legs, ran with them on the salt beds at Kaisar's command. Cut the throats of the two-headed bear. Cut all communities off. Use storm, sky, disease, fire, starvation, and the violence of the ignorant to ruin all who could. Might stand against him, but the White Legs, they couldn't live on their own like most scavengers. So gave them purpose. Turned their hunger into a weapon. The wall of New Canaan. Too high for Kaisar. Too proud, maybe. Or maybe something there from his past that needed killing. Memory of Graham. Helped them dig out Canaan's supply caches and other secrets the sands hid. Bunkers filled with powered weapons even the Brotherhood might desire. They call these new weapons storm drums. In the firing of shells, taught them the power in the casings to channel the spirits in their guns. Me, they called me the flag bearer. Glory in my hand, in my staff that still bore the weight of the old world, just as the symbol on my back did. I learned their weapons as a means of respect, and when it came their turn to pay respect to me, history came rushing back. Can't escape what's been done. History's there. No matter how far you walk. I walked the Great Salt Lake as Kaisar's eye, then his hand. Mongrels there. Two legs and four. Saw the walls of New Canaan and the scavengers circled. And the strength or fire to take. Too high. Too strong. White Legs. They were born for war. They run to it. Hungry for battle. Yet their hunger is to be a part of history. Something larger. Like the Legion, as always, brought them a message from Kaisar. If New Canaan burns, Kaisar might see them. Might. Even the chance was a lie. To honor Kaisar, destroy the history of New Canaan and the way they carry it in their generations and family. Kaisar respects such strength, I told them. That was truth. Even if strength wasn't the word. Obedience. You must be willing to kill anyone. Children, mothers, the weak, elders. If these new Canaanites value the generations, that is what you must kill. It was like Vulpes was speaking through me. Use the night. Silence and fire to change their words to pleas, to screams. No need for bombs when hate will do. ancestry going back thousands of years. Another death of history, lost to time. The new Canaanites. They supplied medicine, food traded with others, civilization, a hand from the past, not history, but maybe a past deeper, farther than that to a place where this God really exists. If so, his handiwork and people belong elsewhere, not in this place. Another symbol like bear and bull with no meaning in the present. The white legs meant to show respect, bribe me for Kaiser's favor, echoing mannerisms and words, showed them tech caches, taught them the workings of chamber and powder, spoke of Kaiser's pride in those that used such things. Lies. And then they tried to honor me, not the Legion. They brought me before the campfire one night, showed me how they changed themselves, how they wore their hair now. It was like my entire dead tribe in the firelight, teeth grinning red in the dark, eager corpses, blood-covered ghosts. They had taken my braids, the way of the twisted hairs, as if it showed they were like me, of me. While every knot in their braids spoke of raping, violence, and ignorance of what the knots meant, they thought to show respect, defiled it, lost myself in trying to read the braids they wove. When I remembered, they had put no meaning in it. They had no history of what it meant. They didn't even know the insult in the twists, knots. And Drywells came rushing back. The white legs circled like that. It was like looking at the dead of my tribe, reborn as ghosts, hateful, hungry, bowing to Kaiser. Another history gone, carried by me alone.
Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that storytelling amazing? I love that. So the twisted hairs themselves weren't just, it wasn't just, you know, I have this is a reflection of my tribe, of my people. It was also pseudo-religious. It also had, some sort of a hankering in who these people were, not just culturally, but socially. And it kind of reminds me of the way the Amish are. The Amish grow their beards out, they let their mustaches connect to their beards, or they grow, no, I apologize completely, they don't have mustaches. They let their sideburns connect to their beard when they're married, which is something small, but it reminded me of that. Just something where it's like, oh, hey, this is something about my hair that tells you about me and my people, and I'm proud of it. Also, I couldn't access it for some reason. I don't know if the Twitter went down, but according to Chris Avalon's Twitter, one of the writers of New Vegas, the braids also signified marriage, profession, and how many people they might have killed. Also, it was done for survival tactics. In New Vegas, in Honest Hearts, you could find the snake kit, the snake bite tourniquet, and that is essentially, if I read it correctly, it's essentially the rubber bands that they would use to twist the braids. You would take the rubber bands out and put that on your arm if you got bitten by something poisonous or a bark scorpion, you got stung, and that would stop the poison from moving, and they could treat it and they can do something. So it was multifaceted. It meant multiple things to multiple people. Hair is such an important aspect in so many people's cultures, and I'm so happy to see it show up again here. Even though it's in fiction, it's just so interesting to me, especially the way the white legs are just like, we want to honor the person who showed us how to be better conquerors. And they did it it's like, you know, if you see somebody who's really into a certain culture of people and they're trying to act that certain way, but they're doing it disrespectfully just because it's like they want to honor it. But it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, pal? What is going on over here? I could tell you're in a good spot, but it kind of comes off a little racist. So this is a thing that I wanted to read directly off the Fallout wiki quick. It's about Van Buren and how the Twisted Hairs would have shown up in Van Buren. The canceled Fallout 3 by Black Isle Studios, the Twisted Hairs also appeared in one of the story variants, where similar to the canonical history, they were also put to the sword by the Legion. The only survivor of the massacre was the future tribal goddess Hectic. She would establish a female tribe and religious organization named the Daughters of Hectic, and a subordinate male tribe member named Hounds of Hectic, comprised of former members of the Vipers, the gang, the Raider gang. Hectic would be the male counterpart to Kaisar, desiring nothing more than to wipe out Kaisar's agents in the area. Her plan was simple. When the tribes were weak enough, her hounds would sweep upon them and annihilate them from the face of the earth. She was determined that she would come to pass with Kaisar and his legion. So this is something that's like ingrained into the, and that's what I love about New Vegas, is they took so much stuff that could have been in the game and wasn't. Like, Graham is in Van Buren and we just don't really have a ton. There's some stuff about him, but it's like we don't have everything about who he could have been because of it. Also, the Twisted Hairs are originally meant to be in Van Buren, but they were also going to make an appearance in Fallout Brotherhood of Steel 2, and they were led by a warrior named Harpy. Ulysses himself was planned to be a companion originally. I have the collector's edition of New Vegas, and he does have a card, even though he doesn't show up until the DLC. So he was supposed to be a Legion-friendly, a Legion-leaning companion that you could have been with, who would have been like, yes. I guess the antithesis to Boone, really. But he was supposed to be someone that you could have been friendly with and learn from and learn more about his people and Kaisar. And I really hope you enjoyed that, because I really enjoyed that. That has been the lore for this week on the Twisted Hairs from Fallout. New Vegas' DLC, Lonesome Road. So this is probably going to come out. Welcome to segment three, everybody. This is probably going to come out right before Christmas. Kyle and I just spoke to Kyle like moments before I started recording. We will be doing our end of the year thing that we usually do. But Christmas, I don't really have anything planned. And it got me thinking, I don't think I'm going to be going home this year for Christmas because I went to Japan for almost a month. And what's your Christmas tradition? For me, being Italian, it's mostly fish. But I live in a landlocked state, so I'm not going to be buying fish. And I'm very curious to know what other people do. For me, it's Christmas Eve. And Marcus, if you want to chime in with what you guys do around the holidays, it was fish. We're not supposed to eat meat. And as we got older, the opportunity to open presents at midnight came up, but I was never one for that. I want to do it in the morning, because then it's like, I open everything, I'll go install everything, and then I'll just sit in my room and play video games for the rest of the day. And I'm going to have some friends over. I'm going to have another, like a little get together that I usually have with my friends when they come over. I'm probably going to make sauce. I'm probably going to make pasta. I might make it fresh. I'm not sure. I might buy a box and make some fresh just so I have extra. I'm probably going to buy shrimp because you can buy shrimp frozen and that seems to be okay. You know, that type of stuff. I'm probably going to get a bunch of like cured meats and cheeses and have a nice spread and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 loaves of Italian bread. Just, I'm going to make it feel like how growing up, like a really truncated version of growing up, Christmas Eve felt to me. But on Christmas Day, I really want to get Chinese food and go see a movie. I've always wanted to be able to just go get Chinese food and then just see like what's in the theater and not care what's there, but just go see something. I was talking to somebody from back home about wanting to do this, and they were like, is there any Jewish neighborhoods? And I was like, no, I don't think there's a synagogue anywhere close to me. I'm going to look it up. I want to see if there is, because if there is, I'm going to see if there's a Chinese place around there that might be open. But I really just want to get, like, I want to do that next year for Thanksgiving, is just get Chinese food. Just be like, all right, cool. Here's the, you know, the Americanized Chinese food all around the table. Have some people over and just be like, we're not cooking. Turkey's overrated anyway. I would love to know what you did. Marcus and Chad is just saying, on Christmas, seeing Space Jam in the theater. That's a beautiful way to spend Christmas, watching Michael Jordan's gambling addiction while he hangs out with our favorite cartoon pals. Let me know what you do for Christmas in the comments below, or the holidays, or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, Festivus, anything, you let me know. I think Hanukkah starts like on Christmas this year, I think, and Kwanzaa is always the day after. Anyway, You might see me one more time before Christmas. I might actually record an episode on Christmas. I'm not sure. I got to see. So come hang out if you want. I got to see what's going on that day. I love you. I'll be seeing you all very, very soon. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster, and you get all of his free music at silvermansounds.com/free music. And you can also follow me on Twitter, the show on Twitter, and Kyle on Twitter. I'm not quite sure what's going on with Twitter still. We're going to call it Twitter forever. I'm not calling it by its other name. As long as Elon is deadnaming his kid, I will deadname his funny website. There's the Redbubble. Someone actually just recently purchased something off of the Redbubble. Go ahead, check it out. I'm just happy that somebody enjoys the show and got something in that way. Jeez, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Check out the Discord. I love you. I'll be seeing you all soon. Happy holidays. Stay safe. Stay warm. I love you. Be safe. Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.